Charlie Johnson from Madison, South Dakota. I farm with a brother, Alan, and a younger cousin, Aaron. And we're part of Johnson Farms in southern Lake County, south of Madison. And we farm about 2,800 acres, of which about 1,800 is tillable. And the balance is in pasture, meadow, slough, building site, trees, and groves.
Charlie, congratulations on being named the Organic Farmer of the Year. What does this mean?
Well, first of all, thank you, Tom, for that compliment. And what it means, I think, is more than just what Johnson Farms is or Charlie Johnson. I think it means a lot of where the organic movement and industry is heading, and it's doing nothing but heading upwards in terms of more production, more consumption, more interest. So really, this award that I'm receiving, I think it has more credit or credence to the people who make up the organic industry, more so than just recognizing one single individual or producer here from South Dakota.
Tell me what an organic farmer is, because it seems to me that it would be a tremendous amount of effort to maintain an organic operation. So what is an organic operation, first of all?
Well, basically, the outline of an organic farmer is that you're 3 years away from any use of any commercial type of pesticides, herbicides, or fertilizers, and that you have a strong rotation and fertility program built into your system to operate your farm. If you really would take it back to years when probably when our either parents or grandparents were farming, it's much like that. You know, the pre-World War II, that they did a lot of things that they were able to do right on their farm themselves and farm independently. And the lucky part, or the good part, that today as a organic producer, we have far more awareness, tools, modern equipment, heated cabs, air conditioning, things like that. And so I think it makes our task far more easier.
So even though you're organic, doesn't mean you can't be in a heated cab.
That's right. We can, like any other farmers, we like to be in a comfort seat, although probably our hours will extend quite long in the summer months. You know, we do raise row crops on about 50% of our acres, and so we do a lot of cultivating, weed control, hand roguing, rotary hoeing. I mentioned cultivating. It's a time-intensive operation.
And I suppose that you have found very few weeds that have become resistant to steel.
No, that's one lucky part of our operation, that I haven't found a cultivator-resistant water hemp yet. So we're able to take it out. And we have our problems just like any producer does in any given year, but we have found that with good management, good rotation, intensive oversight, and just plain old elbow grease and long hours, that we can maintain a fairly weed-free operation. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's something that we take pride in.
Very good. Well, tell me about the marketing of the products, because there has to be a payoff somewhere, a reward somewhere for all of this work.
Well, it is, and it's been really worthwhile. I take it back to my late dad that started the organic operation, back in the late 70s, and at that time there was no premiums or extra prices for organic, and quite honestly, if there was no extra incentive in the markets, this farm would still be operated as an organic farm, because that's the way my late father would have wanted it. But we operate with a group called OFARM. They're an umbrella of different cooperatives and organizations that bargain on behalf of the producers. And specifically, I'm a member of NFO, and they have a program called NFO Organics. And I have a regular agent who works with me almost weekly, if not daily, developing markets for our production. He's able to line up the sales, the trucking, the final settlement, and it works real well. I know that I'm going to get paid on time. He knows what the markets are. He maintains a delivery system and a cash flow awareness of where I need to have money in what months. On our farm, we'll have close to maybe 50 to 60 semi-loads of grain leave the farm in terms of oats, corn, and soybeans.
Tell me about demand for the products that come off of farms that, such as yours, an organic farm.
Well, the demand is really strong and real heavy. And for example, with some of the short crops now in corn, especially in the organic world, feedstuffs, I probably could have sold my corn four or five times over this past year. What has really brought on, I think, a strong demand in the organic world is the organic livestock in terms of dairy, poultry, and meats. And that has created an intense demand for the commodities that I grow, because basically I'm kind of the first link in the meat and dairy system where I grow the feed grains, and then they go to the livestock growers.
I went on your Facebook page momentarily, and I see that you also raise livestock, so you're kind of more diversified.
Yeah, we've maintained our cow calf herd through the years, and we're at about 200 head, and they're basically our fertilizer factory, or at least in part they are. They consume most all of our forages that we have on the farm, because we rotate intensively and heavily with alfalfa, and so they take care of that part of it, and that's where the cow-calf part comes into play. We have more forages that we'd like to utilize here at the farm than we do utilizing expensive grain, so doing the cow-calf part really works well for us.
Would you call that an organic herd as well?
We don't certify it as organic. We certify all of our tillable and land acres. But we haven't gone through the paperwork and the certification part for the herd. But our herd does not receive any antibiotics, hormones, things of that nature. And they're only fed feedstuffs that come from our farm.
You've brought up something that perhaps might be an impediment to getting all of your farm to be organic, and that you mentioned the paperwork. You don't go through the paperwork. Does that seem to be a barrier that keeps some people from having an organic operation?
Well, I think maybe in some way, but I do know that the agency that I work with, it's a third-party agency, International Certification Services out of Medina, North Dakota. And, of course, there's dozens of certified agencies across the country. But I think it's a good practice to have. What it does is create that third-party credibility, so that buyers and consumers know that when they're getting production from a farm or a production setup, that it's actually organic. And also, I think it's good for the consumer. Quite honestly, they can take anything that they consume in the grocery store, bring it home, and they can trace that organic production back to the store, back to the processor, back to the grower, back to the farm, and even back to the field from where that production came from. So there's an audit and trail system there that's second to none.
Has that made it necessary then for you to build traceability into your products?
Definitely. They really hone in on that. And so anything, just like, for example, this morning now, we had a semi-load of soybeans that headed to eastern Iowa, and they're food-grade beans, so they'll be processed in either soy milk or soy nuts. That particular semi contained a lot number before it left the yard and some paperwork. And it will show what bin it came out of, what year that production was, and also the number of the field or fields that were that production of soybeans came from. So we can trace it right to the given field. They in turn will use that lot number as they carry that processing down the road to their eventual consumers.
This is taken seriously.
Yeah, it is. You bet.
Back to being named Organic Farmer of the Year. How does that change your life, Charlie? Do you have any idea about that?
Well, first of all, it's quite an honor, and I'm humbled by it. I honestly think there's dozens of other people or operators that are far more worthy of the honor. And so to even just be considered, let alone be chosen, is again, quite an honor. And we'll have a chance next week at Moses Conference to share a little bit about our farm, meet with the people that are there at the conference and talk with them. And we'll also have an opportunity to give a short presentation on Thursday evening to the attendees and a little bit about Johnson Farms and a little bit about my belief in the importance of land and beginning farmers and what agriculture is all about.
Please share with me a little bit about that then. What would you tell them? What would you like to say to them about your beliefs?
Well, my belief is that the number one resource, not only in South Dakota, but all of rural America, is the land itself and the bright young minds that live upon it. And how we treat those resources in the years and decades to come will tell quite well how the future of agriculture is going to take hold in this country once again. And so that's our number one asset, far none.